I don't know if you've heard about this little girl who loved going to church. And then one day suddenly she said, "Mommy, I don't want to go to church." And mommy asked, "Why?" She said, "Remember what you said, what they prayed in church last Sunday? Lamb of God, take away all our cinnamon rolls." Wow. Any kids here? You don't serve cinnamon rolls, sweetie. Okay. Now, I began on a humorous note because it's a rather serious reading. And these words of Jeremiah and Jesus, they're really going to make us think. To understand the first reading, we have to understand also the context in which the prophet Jeremiah speaks and prophesies what he does in today's reading. Jeremiah was a prophet around 628 BC, and he was a prophet under the king Josiah. And Josiah began a program of reform that would rid the nation, all of the kingdom of Judah, of idolatry, of injustice, and of false religiosity. After Josiah, however, the king that followed, King Zedekiah, really was not as fervent as King Josiah. The old idolatry returned. People were being unfaithful to the covenant. Injustice, especially the exploitation of the poor, was rampant. But to add to the problem, there was a false prophet by the name of Hananiah. Now, we know from our own times that politically what happens in a nation or a kingdom is very significant. And so, the king Zedekiah was about to revolt against the very powerful Babylonian king. He was trying to get the help of the Egyptians to somehow deal with the Babylonians. And Jeremiah prophesied. He said, "Don't. The Lord says, do not." And he also preached against the infidelities to the covenant and the injustice. As a result, Jeremiah suffered much. He was arrested. He was imprisoned. He was made to suffer. Had Zedekiah listened to Jeremiah, Judah would have been safe. But he listened to the false prophet. As a result, the Babylonians came and they totally devastated Judah, the kingdom of Judah, and particularly for the Israelites, the temple. The temple was in ruins. And the Babylonians took with them into exile every able-bodied man, woman, young person, children, but the disabled, the old, they left them behind to die. Now keep that context in mind and try to hear what Jeremiah is saying. "Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture." Now we know why. Because here was a king and here was a false prophet taking steps that would ensure the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. But then that's not the only message that Jeremiah proclaimed. There was a message of hope too. And hear this. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. He will do what is just and right in the land. This is the name they give him, the Lord our justice. Now, as we read the gospel reading, we know now that in Jesus, this prophecy of Jeremiah is fulfilled. The Lord our justice came to the same devastated Israel, only now under a new rulers, the Romans. Nothing has changed. They're as devastated and as humiliated as ever. And the state of the people, pretty pathetic, except for John the Baptist, who came and they killed him. There was no prophet. There were no priests who would lead the people in righteous ways. There was no king that would help them. They were all under the Romans. And so they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looks at the people and he says, and his heart is moved with pity. The tragedy of the situation is that the people of the time of Jesus rejected Jesus in the same way that the kings and the false prophets rejected Jeremiah, only more violently. They put this man to death because he came to teach what was right and what was just. But we know today that most people in the world accept Jesus. His message, the most heart-changing message, is that from Jesus. It's the most challenging. The most redeeming teachings of Jesus are now accepted by most people in the world. And so we can say today that we know our shepherd. We are not like sheep without a shepherd. Because Jesus comes to teach what is just and what is right. This is the man we know as the Lord our justice. Having given you that brief commentary on the scriptures, I want to also propose three practical implications, three practical ways in which these readings can become useful for us during the week. So here is my first practical implication. And I want to begin with that thought that I just ended my commentary with, that Jesus came as one who's moved with compassion for his people. It's a very comforting thought. In other words, Jesus was moved to his core, that he felt sadness in his guts, that he was moved in his innermost being. He was affected at the very central part of his body, his life, his heart. He was moved at the state of the people. And so it makes me say that our God is not some distant, platonic, supernatural being who rules this world in ruthless righteousness. No. That our God is somebody who feels us. That our God is somebody who laughs with us, who cries with us, who walks with us, who talks with us, who even dies for us. If I had the opportunity to let you share your stories, I'm sure there'll be many of us who will know our hurting. Perhaps because of illness, because of abuse, because of age, because of broken relationships. All of us hurt, don't we? I hurt too, as a priest. When my sins come in the way of me being a shepherd who can lead the people, when my being alone overwhelms me, when I miss my family back in India, when I'm frustrated with my failures, when I find it difficult to forgive myself, I hurt too. But for me to know that there is a God who is moved with compassion at my state. It's a very comforting thought. That's enough for me to go on. I'm glad that I know this Jesus, that I know my God, who's moved with compassion. That is my strength. The second practical implication. The question we ask is, how is Jesus better than the shepherds of Judah? They mislead the flock. How is Jesus better? And I think this is how Jesus is better. As Jeremiah prophesied, Jesus came to lead us to do what is right and what is just. And Jesus made that known in no unclear terms. We know what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus communicates to us God's will in all its radicalness. He teaches us to love God beyond human imagination. And then to love each other in the same way. He teaches us to abandon our lives into the hands of God. Total abandonment. He teaches us. He teaches us not to hate our enemies, but to pray for them, to do good to them, and to love them. And there's no confusion about these teachings. It's all straight, clear. There's no debating these. He teaches us not to pick up the sword, but to lay it down. He teaches us not to count the cost, but to give beyond measure. He teaches us to forgive the unforgivable, to love the sinner, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, comfort the prisoner, and home the homeless. In other words, just as Jesus is moved in his innermost being at the state of the people, Jesus now asks us to be moved with compassion. We are not like sheep without a shepherd. We know exactly what it means to be a Christian. And my third practical point. We know that we are in the midst of much economic, political, and social chaos in the world, in our nation, society. Think of the economic crisis, for example. How many people have lost their jobs, insurance? How many people are hurting? They've lost their homes. Even the church is not free from shepherds who may scatter and mislead. Think of the child abuse crisis. And I can hear Jeremiah say the same words today. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock. And I guess the question we ask ourselves is, well, who is going to lead us? Some people say the right will help us. Other people say the left will help us. Some people say this economic system. Other people say that economic system. Some people say the liberals will do it. Other people say the conservatives will do it. Some people say the progressive will take us closer to God. Other people say the traditionalists will do so. And I'm saying none of these people represent the entire truth. No human institution, nobody can take us to where Christ is leading us. We must be moved with Christ's message of love and forgiveness and compassion and selflessness and life. And that is our only hope. Today people put faith in human institutions and run helter-skelter as if we have no shepherd, as if we have no directions. And yet, here we are at this Eucharist. We come to worship this shepherd who leads us to eternity, to salvation, to do what is just and what is right. In conclusion, my dear friends, let us come to Christ as one who is moved with compassion and love, and yet we come to the Christ who asks us to be moved with compassion and love. And having moved, may we bring life and hope and help to our broken world. And the people of God say, Amen. Let me hear that.
Amen.